all of them. Drivihi, from the three Vedas, Pavitrai, by the all auspicious mantras, Munayaha, great thinkers and sages, Agrinansma, chanted. Translation. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all auspicious sound of the all merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Prabhupada. The word maya maya is very significant in this verse. Maya means mercy, specific knowledge, and also illusion. Therefore, Lord Bor is everything. He is merciful, he is all knowledge, and he is illusion also. The sound which he vibrated at the Bor incarnation was answered by the Vedic hymns of the great sages in the planets Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. The highest intellectual and pious living entities live in those planets, and when they heard the extraordinary voice of the Bor, they could understand that the specific sound was vibrated by the Lord and no one else. Therefore, they replied by praying to the Lord with Vedic hymns. The earth planet was submerged in the Maya, but on hearing the sound of the Lord, the inhabitants of the higher planets were all jubilant because they knew that the Lord was there to deliver the earth. Therefore, Brahma and all the sages such as Bhrigu, Brahma, Brahma's other sons, and learned Brahmanas, they enlivened and they concertedly joined in praising the Lord at the transcendental vibrations of the Vedic hymns. The most important is the Brihan Naradiya Purana verse, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Pristaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasate Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavari, Paskatyari Satarine, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Yadvaita Gadadhara, Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Nisham yate gagaritam svakeda chayishnu maya maya sukarasya janastapa satya nivasinaste Tribhi Pavitra Munayogrinansma. When the great sages and thinkers who are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka and Satyaloka heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. To understand this verse, which we have picked for Varaha Dev's appearance day, let us please backtrack a little bit and go to the most amazing and wonderful Leela of Lord Varaha, who saves the earth. It so happened that once the demon Hiranyaksha took the earth out of its natural position and then submerged it within the waters of the ocean, which half covers each universe. At this, the Lord appeared again as Lord Varaha to take the earth back to its natural position. With its big snout, it dug into the mud at the bottom of this universe, this ocean, and then carried the earth with its huge snout up into its position. Then the demon came and said, "What are you doing? I have arranged it in a different way. Why are you just putting it back where it belongs?" And he blasphemed the Lord in this wonderful form at the huge pig or hawk, a transcendental Eber, boar is the word. There was a battle, and at the end the Lord killed the demon, and then he made the sound which we are hearing. He made a tumultuous voice, which was heard all over the universe. We hear, and it was received by all the great saints. Now this particular Leela makes it very clear to us that the Lord must be transcendental. Saints would not be enlivened by hearing the roar of a boar. It's an ugly sound. Because the boar is just such a monstrous animal, interested in stool and dirt, etc. But not only were the saints very enlivened by hearing this sound, no. When the Lord shook his transcendental body, the water from the ocean fell, and also fell on the saints, and they took it all over their faces, their bodies, and so on. Ordinarily, when a hawk, in Vrindavan, you can sometimes see they go in these places where this extremely polluted water is, and then they take their bath, and afterwards they shake themselves, and everyone who takes his clothes up to not become contaminated, and then have to take a shower or a bath in the Yamuna. So the saints took all the water and smeared it all over, because that Lord Bor is certainly transcendental, not to be compared with this species at all. And we also hear that some of the hairs fell out and came on the earth, where they grew as kusha grass. kusha grass is used in the sacrifice for the brahmanas and priests to first sit on. They have a mattress from kusha grass, and secondly, they also ignite fire, as far as I know, with the kusha grass. They take fire and transport it and put it on the wood. So these are three reasons which show us that the Lord and the boar, transcendental boar, is totally transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature, beyond ignorance and passion, totally fixed in the transcendental realm. And this was recognized by the great saints and sages. Today is Varaha Dev's appearance day. We are celebrating this by remembering the Leela and trying to absorb this Leela in our own heart. I always think that the Lord came down into this universe, and he helped us, and he took our planet on which we are now situated in the proper space. I think that is wonderful. Where would we be without planet Earth? Where would we be without a human body? We wouldn't have this wonderful chance to control our senses and our mind and engage them in Krishna consciousness. We would have a very sad position, most properly. So the Lord is so merciful and so wonderful that he just loves the conditioned souls. This love, which is expressed in caring for the conditioned soul, is a wonderful aspect which we as devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness sometimes can meditate about, to become happy and faithful in our execution of Krishna consciousness. I remember a very ancient narrative about the love of the Lord. Once I told this in Heidelberg, but since many of you were not there at that time, I want to tell it again. It was about a little boy, maybe like Jones, who learned under his teacher. So time came when his learning period was finished, and he wanted to remunerate his teacher by giving him some present. But his mother told him, "We are so poor, we cannot afford anything." So that boy was very, very helpless and went into the forest. He cried out with tears in his eyes, "Dinabandhu! Oh, Dinabandhu!" Dinabandhu is a name of Krishna, meaning the friend of the poor and distressed. "Oh, Dinabandhu, please help me." This, the Lord Govinda actually came and said, "Yes, what do you want?" "Well, I need to give something to my teacher. Tomorrow is the day." "Oh," said Govinda, "here, please take this little cup." He gave a cup which was full of yogurt. The boy was happy, and when his turn came to give something to his teacher, he gave that cup. But his teacher, who had received so many wonderful presents, was not impressed. He said, "What? After all these years of toiling to give you some knowledge. You only have a cup for me, a cup full of yogurt, which you can get in any street corner. And he, in order to, he was so angry, he just took the cup and plink, 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 emptied the yogurt cup. Now, as he was doing this, the yogurt would not end. More and more yogurt came. A whole tsitsa, a whole small lake of yogurt accumulated. Plink, plink. Just poured and poured and poured and wouldn't end, because the yogurt pot was a transcendental yogurt pot. It was not limited by space, spatial dimensions. It was from the unlimited spiritual world, where unlimited numbers of cows and cowherd boys fit into a tiny part of Vrindavan. It's a very, very transcendental. So the teacher became shocked, and he said, "I'm sorry, what kind of cup have you given to me? Who has given this cup to you?" And the boy said, "Dinabandhu." "Who is Dinabandhu?" said the teacher. "Oh, you don't know who is Dinabandhu? He's the friend of all living entities." So this is a wonderful story from the kingdom of love, where Krishna takes care of the living entities. Prabhupada says in the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam, there is a wonderful section. I wrote it to some devotees, that the Lord has been taking care of us even before the time where we managed to pray to Him. He has given us instructions, and although we have not followed, He still has not become angry with us. Krishna is so wonderful that although maybe some of us have not yet met, even now where they are devotees, not yet managed to come to the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness and follow the process of Krishna consciousness, still the Lord has not become angry with us. He is still patiently there in our heart, giving us possibilities and caring for us. Today I want to do something unusual. I want to tell you about an interesting theological point by telling you a biblical story. I usually don't tell from the Bible, but it's about one town called Nineveh. Nineveh. Is that in Italy? Don't know. Nineveh must be in Europe, you know, Palestine or so. Sounds somehow so Italian, Nineveh. So the people who were there were extremely sinful people. So Jonas, So God told Jonas, Jones, he should go to them and tell them, if these people wouldn't change their unhealthy and sinful ways, he would certainly destroy the whole town. Now Jonas thought that this is very good. He should destroy this sinful town. The people are just so impossible there. I don't want to go and tell them that they should change. They should just be destroyed. These sinful brats. should be killed. You know, he was in that very unmerciful mood. So, as a result, he was swallowed by a wall fish. You know wall fish. Whale. Thank you. A whale. And then he was again saved by God. He was spit out on the shore by this whale. And then he thought, oh, better I tell them, because maybe what the next thing which happens is a big eagle comes down and just kills me, maybe. So he went to the Nineveh people and he said, you foolish Nineveh people, you just change your sinful ways, otherwise God will destroy this town. Basta. Basta. So the Nineveh people, yes, they changed because they were afraid that the town would be destroyed utterly. Now, Jones could not, Jonas, you say in German, could not really understand why the Lord took so much care for this sinful town. He went, and it was very, very hot. And he felt very tired, and there was no shadow. So finally he found a tree. And he went under the tree and slept. So next morning when he woke up, the tree was destroyed. He couldn't understand why was this tree destroyed. It was such a good tree, and it was spending so much shadow, giving so much shadow. He was praying to God, I don't understand your ways. Why have you not destroyed the tree? Why have you destroyed the tree? And why not the people of Nineveh? So the Lord was then saying to him, and this is a very interesting point. I'm sorry for the, I know when some devotees, when they hear the Bible, they go like, it doesn't have such a good vibration around it because it was changed so often. But here comes a very, very important point. God told him, see, for this tree which I brought up, we need a lot of care. You cannot understand that this tree is now finished. Don't you think I care much, much more for these people in this town, Nineveh? You expect me to care for a tree, but don't you expect me then also to take care of our whole people? The tree is not so good. It's a Rizinus tree. You know Rizinus? It has thorns. But still you expect me to take care. Why shouldn't I take care of these people? I can't understand your logic. So this is the wonderful mood of Dinabandhu, or Lokabandhu, or Dayasindhu. These are all names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, indicating his care for the conditioned souls. Usually, when someone, you know, spends time with other people, and the people continuously disappoint him, then there will be a time when he closes his doors. Enough. Krishna is not like this. We must be disappointing for him, still in the, with uncontrolled mind and senses, but he continues to take care of us in a very, very loving way. without considering our bad qualities. A great personality is someone who can look past the bad qualities of someone. And a very small personality is someone who will only see bad qualities and not good at all. We as devotees must learn from Krishna's care for the fallen souls to extend that care to the other living entities. Once Prabhupada was asked to say what would be the main qualification of a devotee, and he said he would be a perfect gentleman or a lady. Another time Prabhupada answered the same question, that the highest principle of all spiritual activity is to take care of others, to bring them up, to look past their mistakes. This actually means that devotees develop appreciation for each other. Only if you appreciate someone, it is possible for you to take care of that person. It's a sign of a great person to be able to appreciate everywhere this little sign of seriousness, and to bring that further on, or to help someone to develop this. I remember once Srila Prabhupada told the story of the sannyasi who was going to very, very geizige householder. Geizig means miserly householders. So he came with his top and said, "Please give something." And this miserly is a correct word? Miserly. Stingy, maybe. Stingy, yes. Ah, Vainateya Prabhu, he gave. Sorry, I just I had seen Bhakta Vatsala and the other Vaishnavas, but not Vainateya. So he came to this miserly Grihastha and said, "Please give something." And the Grihastha, who was so much opposed to sadhus begging, took a little ash and just threw it in the bodhi top. Now the sadhu was not at all angry. He saw, "Oh, you have started to give something. Next time you will give something more." And was very happy with this. So a devotee should also learn to be a little loving towards others. That means he should care about the other person. And this is only possible if he learns to appreciate the thing, the qualities of the Vaishnava, which we can see in everyone. I'm 100% convinced that this movement for Krishna consciousness has so many wonderful, such a strong transcendental movement. But one thing is missing. And if this one thing, it's just the last small thing, everything is there. We have big houses, we have big deities, we have the wonderful books, we have great personalities in this movement, we have the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is waiting on the altar for us every day, but we have not so much appreciation for other Vaishnavas. This is because we do not know anything about the art of loving relationships. In the Western world, love is something which you always want to get. You love? Everyone should love me. This is all I can say about love. It's like an object which you want to have, like a piece of maybe a glass which helps you to see better or so. But not many know that love is not an object, but it is an activity which you have to do. Then you will be able to enter into loving relationships with devotees, and you will also begin to think in a loving way of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this world, people are starving for love, and what they do is men try to become successful, get a lot of money together, or a high position. A woman try to arrange their hair in a style which is attractive and use lipsticks or jump high in sports or sing loud in entertainment. Men and women in this world are starving for love, but they don't know how to get it, because for them love is just an object which you take, which you buy by your endeavor, by your endeavor to please others or to become lovable. The world is starving for love. If a person is not loved, that's worse than death for him. Why is this so? Well, if you will talk a little psychology here. The human existential condition is one of being supremely insecure. We are walking on thin ice. We could any time die or have a serious disease or fail in our undertakings and our plans. It can happen any time. We are helpless in a very powerful universe. So therefore, in a strange world, so to say, therefore, the only solution, the only way out, we think, is to have a loving relationship with someone where we feel appreciated, where we feel someone who is special, who is cared for, etc. But as I said, most think love is just something like you buy. The karmis think, well, I will just find another materialist and have a sexual relationship with him or her, and that's how I will experience love. It's for a little while. One may feel, when the emotions are stirring high, some sense of escape, some sense of fleeing away from the insecurity, because the whole mind and senses are on fire. But this is not the meaning of this is not by no means the meaning of love. Love is something which you have to practice in your life. It starts by respecting others as part and parcels of Krishna. And it continues by understanding that the Lord wants that the living souls are, that his part and parcels are taken care of. And it continues by understanding deeply what everyone wants. Everyone in this world, in this love-starving world, wants to be reconnected with the supreme ocean of love, the supreme personality of Godhead. This is what we learn here. The Lord Bohr was making his tumultuous voice. Must have been sounded very nice, not like this. And then the saints responded with the transcendental vibrations of the Vedic hymns, most important of all the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yes? So when will we ever respond to Krishna? He has so much love for us that even though we don't care, he cares for us. Even though we don't appreciate him, he appreciates us. Even though we don't know what is good for us, he knows and he wants to give it. When will we ever respond to him? If you learn to respond to Krishna, then you will learn to love. You won't be a greedy person who always wants love for himself. Appreciate me, recognize me, praise me, love me. But you will learn the art of loving by responding to the love of Krishna. You will see, oh Krishna, he is Krishna's wonderful personality and he is calling for me. So I will respond, my dear Lord. I will do something for you. I will take care of your devotees. I will take care of the conditioned souls. I will, by helping in some ways and preaching and so on and so forth. This is very, very ecstatic. See, some people think giving means to give up something. I give something away, that I don't have it any longer. I'm a poor man now. But we hear that by giving Krishna consciousness to others, we are gaining tremendously. We are not losing. See, in this world, again I want to use the word, this love-starving world, people don't give love because they feel I will be exploited. I have to take love. I have to keep love for myself. However, this is not very wise to react like this. We hear from the Panchatattva, the more they gave, the more the storehouse of love increased. This is also there for someone who gives Krishna consciousness to others, who sweats, who works hard to give Krishna consciousness to others. He will feel love inside. He will feel so much love for Krishna and so much appreciation or love for the living entities. And then he gains and becomes just bubbles of bliss. That's what he becomes. See, Prabhupada gave such a nice picture, which I want to give at this, want to repeat at this stage. He talked about the love of the life of taking and the life of giving, and gave an example of a Spinnenspule. What is a Spinnenspule? No, not really. Yes. You know, when you have this thing where you go.
Aha, a spinning wheel.
Spinning wheel. Yeah. Yes. But the spinning wheel is this part. What is the thing called?
Spindle.
Thank you very much. You know very nice English, Bhaktavatsala. See, when you have the spindle and it turns a certain way around, it will become thicker and thicker with the thread. Do you follow? It will become a big thing. Good. Our life, when we lead the life of a taker, who always wants to take love and appreciation and money and clothes and so on, and in order to solve his existential dilemma, our life will become more and more entangled. We will become more and more immovable, just like the spindle, which will be so thick and so entangled. But if we live the life of a giver, it will go the opposite way around. And our material life will become disentangled. No Verstrickung. No entanglement any longer. Each one of you, how much are you giving? In which way does your spindle turn? Does it turn in the right way or in the wrong way? You can join a spiritual movement. You can be in Krishna consciousness. But if your spindle turns the wrong way, you get more and more entangled and covered over and immovable, until finally when you're old, fat and frustrated, you say, enough! But then no one hears your call. You are too much covered by the threats of the wrong direction or wrong philosophy of your life. So one can join a spiritual movement if one doesn't understand the art of giving, which is an art of loving, which is a function, then it is very difficult to make advancement. Well, the Lord is always giving to us. Always. He's calling us. He's sometimes calling us by taking care that our lives go a little bit unexpected. At a time of disease, for instance, a devotee can understand, well, the Lord is calling me. Wonderful. At a time of frustration, a devotee should understand, the Lord is calling me, showing me this material life is not all. See, you don't even become happy here. The Lord calls us through the scriptures, and he calls us through his pure devotees who tirelessly work in this world. And when they leave, like Srila Prabhupada, who leave us a treasure behind so that we can become Krishna conscious. When are we ever going to respond to this call? Tomorrow we will celebrate the day of Lord Nityananda. Nitai, Nitai, Nitai. And Lord Nityananda is the greatest giver. He even went to the drunkards. He was there with Srivas, and then he went like, and Srivas said, oh no, Madhu, Madhu, Lord Nityananda was calling. What it meant is, he is Balaram and he likes to drink this honey, you know, honey wine. Madhu, Madhu. And he said to Srivas, let's go. Let's go. Srivas said, no, no, no. My Lord, don't drink. Don't drag me into a place where there is drinking of wine. I will lose my thread. It will fall on the ground and burn the minute I enter this. So Nitai was very funny. He did maru, 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 and boom, went into the drinking shop. Shiva was so disturbed, he immediately took a bath in the Ganga. He was not even in the drinking shop, but he just heard the word, and he's like Alas, the Radha Prabhu, very pure-hearted. So Nitai went there. His purpose was to benefit the most fallen who were there in the drinking shop. There are always for the Leela, there are two aspects. The one Leela aspect is he was in his Balaram mood. And the other aspect was which he was fulfilling simultaneously. He was in the mood of caring for the conditioned souls. So this is Nityananda's mood. Tomorrow we should absorb a little bit in this. The taker it's not the right thing, but you took the right thing, but it's not there what I wanted to read. So do you have any questions, my dear devotees? Anything which is on your minds regarding these subjects?
Sometimes when the devotees are a little in Maya, struggling a little,
yes,
they have the tendency to project their own problems onto either their authorities, or sometimes they get rid of their frustration by going extra heavy on their persons who are under their care. So how should we react when we find ourselves in this position, and when we see others also in this position?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes devotees who fall a little bit into Maya project the difficulties on the authorities and say it's their fault, or they sadistically turn towards project the difficulties on the authorities and say it's their fault, or they sadistically turn towards their inferiors and smash them. Mm. The best way for a devotee to deal with problems is to ask the question, why did this problem come? And to think very deeply about it, and generally he will find out that it has a lot to do with himself or herself. We are very expert in in projecting the problem outside of us, on circumstances or people or ignorance which controls people, etc. But by doing this, we actually take away the opportunity to be cured from a problem which is inside of us. I want to give you an example from medicine, which makes it very clear. Just a little while ago, I was visiting a specialist in London, and he gave me homeopathic medicine, and he told me, when you are getting pain and problems, don't fight it. Just let it go out. So I took the medicine, and I developed such a headache, and I thought, I've never taken an aspirin, but now I'm going to take it. But then I remembered what he told. Then the next thing was, mucus was coming like this. Now I have very good mucus tablets, Synfontral, but I didn't take it because I remember the homeopathic medicine is by getting through this disease, you will get rid of it. If you cover it, the symptoms of the disease with medicine, you will actually remain sick for a very, very long time. The disease will remain within your body for a long time, and if you cover it again and again and again, it might become chronic even. Something serious might develop. So, when sufferings come, we usually think, oh, it's the fault of the other. They don't understand, and so on. But by covering, so to say, our own problem with this projection, we will never be able to learn. We will never ever be able to learn our lesson. Bhakta Vatsala, this is not theory. It really works. Now, I'm aware that when I talk such high-sounding philosophy, I need to practice it. And I'm trying to do it, and it really works. Since I know this, it really works. There are many, many things which go wrong in my perception, you know, and it would be very easy to project it on others. But since I meditate and think, what do I have to learn from it? How can I learn it? Krishna consciousness has gained an extra dimension, so to say. This is in the Shastras, it is said, Tatenu kampam susumikshamana bunyana evatma kritang vipakam. We should understand that the sufferings which appear in material life have their cause in sad doings and bad doings or wrongdoings which we did in the past. And by not immediately running for the, you know, for the easiest medicine, that is to say, you are at fault, you are at fault, you are at fault, and you know, just by understanding or trying to meditate about what we have done, then it goes away very brittle, very fast. Yeah, one moment, Meshwar, I just want to think if I have answered everything. Which it's a big subject. It's a big subject. At the same time, when things sometimes go wrong, we should rigorously work at correcting it. You know, you should see if something can be done so that it works right. We should talk with others first and see, maybe I just project everything on others, or is this all right now, how the way it goes, or then if others also think there is something wrong, we can work it out together. Rameshwara, the small brother, huh? They are brothers. Bhakta Vatsala, the big brother, he joined first, and then came Rameshwara. He's also a transcendentalist in high degrees. Mm-hmm. Yes, Rameshwara.
What's his problem?
Just ask others, how do you see it? Is it the way I perceive it? See, we are all very subjective viewers of reality. We have our own subjective filter, and we see things. See, usually sometimes when you see someone having a very extreme opinion, you immediately begin to relativate it. You think, well, is it really the way he sees it? Maybe he's exaggerating it a little bit, isn't it? But why do you take yourself so serious? Not you as Rameshwara, but why do we take ourselves so serious? We can easily see mistakes in others, but why don't we never see any mistakes in others? We are also human beings. We are just like everyone else. So therefore it's really the easiest to just ask others, do you see it the same way? Any other question? The ping pong brothers.
I want to ask about when Lord Nityananda went in his liquor shop.
Yes.
Isn't there some Bengali experiences? When you see Lord Nityananda going to liquor shop,
yes,
you can be sure it's that
too. Yes.
Was he actually, at this time when he was exhibiting the mood of Lord Bala, was he actually also drinking it, or was he just exhibiting the mood of a drunkard?
As far as I know, Lord Nityananda was not drinking liquor, but he was unusual. He sometimes used to dance so intensely that he lost all his clothes. He wouldn't care. But when someone saw him, he was transcendently inspired in love of Godhead, not in the other way. You know, to also do something like this or whatever, I don't know. They were transcendental. Lord Nityananda had one devotee called Ramadas. He used to touch people, or not even touch, make beat them a little bit, with a whip. Pang! You know, imagine you were going there, pang! And you would turn around, who panked me with a whip? But Ramdas panked everyone, and they got infused with love of Krishna. These are the Vaishnavas. When you meet them, you also get so much. The Vaishnavas are lovers. Krishna loves them, they love Krishna, and the Vaishnavas love all, love the conditioned souls and feel sad. You know, when you really love someone, you feel sad if something bad happens to that person, isn't it? You just feel very sad. He is hurt now, or he is on the mental platform. A Vaishnav and feel sad for the sufferings of the conditioned souls. It's amazing, isn't it? I was hearing that Prabhupada cried tears sometimes for the miseries of the conditioned souls. And, you know, Prabhupada said, why is there misery? There is no misery. It's not there. Why do they suffer so much? Anyways, that's a high state. I think we should start with the simple things, like loving Vaishnavas. We should start to try to appreciate everyone for what they are, not just trying to make everyone fit into our mold. So, respecting them. How do you like the thing with the spule, with a spindle? Isn't that a nice tip? Are you a giver or are you a taker? That's something to think about, isn't it? I think sometimes we go like this direction and then this direction. Especially when we turn into the Grihastha Ashram. What are you giving to Krishna? What are you giving to the Vaishnavas? Or are you just maintaining your life like every fly in the universe who works to maintain the life? We have great givers in our Grihastha, you know. Arjuna Prabhu, such a preacher. well, long Vaishnav, Das Avatar, you know, I'm sorry, such a great giver. His wife always gives us prasadam. Such great givers. That's very nice. That means the spindle turns into the right direction. Jagannath.
Sometimes it seems that he manages to actually make the spindle turn the right way and feel like it's very satisfying.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, there's some kind of panic coming. What is this?
I'm losing. You know, like when you are with your pullover somewhere, you know, and you're running, pullover goes like, ooh, 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 you know, you feel like, I'm losing everything, everyone will laugh at me. Yes, sometimes we feel. That's why we are conditioned souls, Jagannath. We think, oh no, my life, I must take care of my life now, you know, keep money and make arrangements, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Who said you are becoming Krishna conscious overnight? Sometimes we have to go through some periods of where we make failures, where we fail. What can I say? I know. Imagine Prabhupada, even on his deathbed, he was a giver. If you imagine this, he was translating. Because he knew we needed the Bhagavatam. So it's a natural, it's a process of purification where the anattas, which are selfish desires for enjoyment, you know, are stopping. And then we are properly situated. It can only go by purification, Jagannath. That's why you go now to India and serve there. You should think it's like for my purification. And then one comes automatically there. Daya Sindhu.
Krishna's spread is so attractive even
Krishna. Yes.
Even Lord Krishna wanted to see him, so that's why he stole the children from Brahma.
Yes.
And later when Krishna and Arjuna came to Lord Krishna, Krishna, by seeing Krishna, he was very pleased. And then on the other side, he said, now after killing the demons, he should turn back to spiritual God. But now on the other side, actually, Lord Krishna, he can see Krishna only in this material world, but not in the spirit. So why he suddenly
that he
he turns back to the spirit of God, at the same time he was also very attracted. And this was a trick.
Yeah, he's not selfish. It's when the Lord's Leela is finished, then the Lord goes back. Advaita Acharya, who is also an expansion of that Vishnu, said the same thing to Lord Chaitanya. He said, he wrote a message which only he and Mahaprabhu could understand. That message he said, no more customers, everyone has enough rice. That was all he wrote. It meant that the love of Godhead has been distributed, and now Mahaprabhu should go back home, back to Godhead. Advaita Acharya wrote this, who is one of the Vishnus. In the same way, Karuna Dakashai Vishnu said, my dear Lord, your purpose was to establish the rules and regulations of religious life and kill the miscreants. That is done. Now, time to go. He reminded the Lord like this. Yeah, that's his function. You say, but he should have kept the Lord always there so that he could see him again and again. But that's the Daya Sindhu logic. It's not Vishnu's logic. No? That's not your logic? No.
Can we also explain like that? I mean, understand like that, since this was like the first part, like 5,000 years ago, was a Krishna here, but then there was not so much, I say, the distributive mercy of the Lord. So, and since, of course, Lord knows that later he will appear as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he will appear as a Beta Acharya.
Mm-hmm. No. It was time to turn back. It's not not that he said get away. You know, the next one is coming. Make room. Hare Krishna. It's a very nice question, Daya Sindhu. I think I have answered it. If you are not yet satisfied, you have to ask again at another time. But now it's when. See, sometimes our questions have a wrong angle. They are wrong questions. I was a world master in putting wrong questions to the devotees when I joined. It's enough for you to know the Lord reminded the Lord to go back. This is the right understanding. Why he did so? It's his Leela. This is Leela. Nothing with, you know, waiting to relish the next incarnations and so. Okay, so we have come to, it's 9:20. Thank you very much for coming here. And don't forget, are you a giver or are you a taker? This is what you can take home with you. Now, our Bhakti Vatsala wants to read the Sankirtan results, isn't it?
I could also do that. I wanted to make a short announcement that about giving and about the Lord Varaha.
Ah, yeah?
I mean, you can announce
it. No. You do. I don't know.
I can also.
I know there's an Abhishek. Yes, let's just finish the class. Sisi Gaunitai ki jai, Sisi Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
Since it is Lord Varaha Day's appearance day today, we will have a short Abhishek before breakfast, which will last about 10 minutes. And I would also like to welcome, on behalf of the farm, welcome the devotees who have come for the festival, and wish everybody a nice festival, and inform everybody on the theme of giving. As Maharaj said, there will be a festival fee, which everybody can give to Lokavandha Prabhu, who will be waiting in the office today between 10:30 and 12:30. So all those who are here for the festival should give something to Lokavandha. The fee will be 50 Deutschmarks, and so could everybody please in that respect. Should I read the Sankirtan results, or is it
maybe
it's a little late. The Sankirtan results will be hanging on.